This recording will be for the regular school board meeting held on Wednesday, October 3rd, 2007 at Castledale Elementary for the Emory County School Board.
We are meeting with all five board members present. We have Superintendent Sitters, Business Administrator Jared Black. We are at Castledale Elementary. We will begin today by having the Pledge of Allegiance. Welcome to all of you. We'll have you stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we will begin with the consent items, the warrants, the minutes, and the financial reports for September. Are there any questions or discussion on that?
I had none. I'd make the motion we accept unless we have received them.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we have a travel request by Emory High School FFA.
Yeah, we have, I'm presenting that for them. This is their national competition, national FFA convention. They go through every 2 to 3 years. These are students who are competing. I sent you some information in the mail on it. I have a whole packet. If you want to know more details, it has all of the convention schedule and as far as I can tell, they meet all the criteria for under board policy to attend and participate, and so I'm recommending that the board approve their participation. The original request had 5 students, but I noticed on the most recent one there's 4 students.
Oh, okay.
I'd recommend the board. This is in Indianapolis, Indiana, October 23rd through the 28th.
And how many leaders do we have going to?
There'll be one chaperone for those 4 students, but they will be traveling with the state FFA. They have a plane scheduled for the state people, and they'll be staying in the same hotel with Utah, with all of the state, with the state of Utah group. So they really travel as a state organization. But
and their advisor looks like a chaperone.
Yeah. We'll move.
Okay.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we have some names for approval.
Yeah, you'll need to look on my report. Down at the bottom of the agenda action items, we have several employee names that I'd like to present for you to approve. Julie Barnett, educational assistant at Emory High School. Connie Shelby as an educational assistant and substitute bus driver. That's for the Castle Valley Center bus. It goes to the Castle Valley Center. Aaron Pittman is custodian, Brookcliff Elementary, Junior High. That's part-time, half-time at each school. Susan Dorsch as lunch manager at Cottonwood and Castledale Elementary Schools. Ashley Sandfield as a substitute bus driver, and Micah Payne as a 2-hour lunch worker at Emory High. These positions are to replace positions that have been left vacant, other than the substitute bus driver. So, I recommend that the board approve those new hires.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we have some revisions of our
letter
of retirement.
One more personnel action. Maybe I should have done this before we approved the names, but we do have a letter. It's a resignation. It's a retirement letter from Pauline Stilton. She isn't retiring at state retirement, but from our school district, she didn't want to use the word resignation, so it's retirement. I have a letter of retirement. I sent you a copy of that. She has taken a job with the sheriff's department and, with their meals there, and so I recommend that the board approve her letter of retirement from the school district.
I'll move, sir.
Okay.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, now we have some
policies. I'm going to have Jeb explain the revisions. I sent you a short explanation of the changes that we're recommending in those policies. Some of them are, two of them are fairly recent changes, at least one, longevity, but we found as we've moved into this that there's a couple of things need to be clarified in those. So I'll let him go through these and maybe give you another brief explanation, and we can answer questions on them if you have them, and then you do want to recommend the board approve these revisions. So, Jared, why don't you go ahead?
The first policy is the employee travel reimbursement and procedures policy. This is a policy that we've had a version for a while that's 6 pages long, and we felt for a few months like we needed to try to condense it and make it more applicable to what our practices actually are with travel reimbursement. And so we sat down in the office a couple of times and went over this policy to revise it. One of the main things that we did is update the reimbursement rates. For example, for meals, for lodging, what types of hotels employees can stay at, that type of thing. We're recommending an in-state travel per diem rate of $36 a day and an out-of-state rate of $40 a day. We also have a provision in there for what we call premium cities, and our recommendation is actually to tie that to the federal website that has per diem rates for all these cities, and they update them on an annual basis, and that way we wouldn't have to always be updating our policy with those rates. So we want to tie that to that federal website and those rates. With our lodging rates, we also want to do the same thing, that instead of just listing a set amount that would probably be too low 2 or 3 years from now, we'll tie that to the federal website rate for any given location. And so the result is we think it actually adds a lot of flexibility for our employees while still having reasonable control for our travel in those areas.
State government or federal?
The website is a federal government website.
So you've had some troubles the last while in traveling first class.
Yeah, all of that. Our policy does not allow first class travel. Yeah.
There's the news.
It's written right in there.
One of the other big changes within the policy is something that the board already approved in theory, which is the updated mileage rate of 40 cents as a standard reimbursement rate, and then 20 cents if an employee takes a private vehicle but could have taken a district vehicle. We've included that under Section 6. One other area that we did put in the policy is an approval procedure. It wasn't really spelled out in our previous policy. It's actually very similar, if not identical, to what we've been practicing as far as approvals. But we felt like it was important to have it in the policy, mainly so that all of us supervisors are aware of what travel is going on before it actually occurs, just so that we're aware of that. Those are the main points in the policy, unless, Kirk, if you can think of something else.
No, I would say that the new policy does add a lot of more flexibility. It's not quite as restrictive as the old policy, but as far as the approval process is on travel, it's really exactly what we're doing now. It's just never been stated in policy. And we felt like we needed to make that standard and make sure that everyone had a clear understanding of it. It is current practice.
Are there any questions or anything I can clarify on that?
You want to approve each one of these individually?
Well, I'll go through the other two, and then we can do approval. The next one is the longevity benefit, and I do have a slide. slightly updated copy from what you had in your packet, and I will point out what the difference is.
Thank you.
Okay, if you had, if you addressed through the previous version of this, the only thing that we've changed is we've added a purpose and background statement on the top of it. We've tried to do that with many of our policies, just to have a general paragraph of what it's about and the point of the policy. So that's the only change on this one. The reason we wanted to add some changes is because we realized as we started thinking about actually implementing this benefit, some issues came to mind that we hadn't considered when we were originally developing the policy. And so we felt like we needed to specifically define a year of service that qualifies under this policy. And so that's the language that we've added. It's all underlined, anything that's different from our current policy. And then we also changed little bits of language throughout the policy to try to shift the focus of eligibility towards years of service as opposed to just an employee being eligible. It's all based on years of service that qualify under the policy. So those are the changes for the longevity benefit policy. Any questions or comments about that one?
The only difference from this one and the one that we received in the mail is just the preamble, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, that little paragraph under purpose and that. Okay, and then the third policy that we've updated is the staff fringe benefit, and I also have an updated version of it for you that has just a couple of changes from what you had in your packet.
You have seen it.
Okay. The one change that we made from the version that was in your packet is the first paragraph under fringe benefits for full-time employees. The last sentence previously read that the district will pay the monthly premium for each full-time employee. And as we looked at it, we felt like there was a need to actually define what premium we're paying, since it is, you know, a specific premium. And so we put the premium for the board-approved plan, which is currently Summit Silver Plan. And also another sentence after that, that employees may also purchase higher premium health coverage via payroll deduction. Just because that's been our practice, and so we felt like it should be in the policy. Other than that, this is a significantly restructured policy. It used to be just four or five paragraphs and about half a page, but we felt kind of a need to more clearly define what benefits were eligible to full-time employees and what benefits were eligible to part-time employees. And so that's why we separated it into two sections and then listed the benefits that apply to each of our groups of employees.
It really doesn't change the policy much.
Right.
It just organizes it so you can understand the
difference. One thing that probably is important to be aware of that we clarified as we were writing this is that for our long-term disability and group life benefits, based on the actual write-up of that benefit, our contract with those companies, employees have to have 20 hours a week to qualify for that. So we did put that in the policy. Our other benefits, such as medical and dental, an employee can work less than 20 hours and still have that benefit at their prorated share. Okay. That's all I had to share on those. We're happy to answer any questions, and if not, we would recommend approving those policies.
Any discussion on that?
Well, I would make a motion that we direct that we get these policies as good and explain them to us if we haven't written.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Anxious to hear about the parent link presentation by John Crawford.
This is really exciting stuff. I'll preface it with that.
Good evening. Last I was fluffing hay tonight, standing to get responsibility. I guess I'm
going to
watch this.
As
you know, right?
Yes, I do. I have,
and you
have my sympathy.
I may be calling Sam about a cow phone tonight, so. Anyway, that's all.
Well, let's take care of it after we.
Okay. By way of introduction, the district, after evaluating this particular product over the course of this last year, has decided to implement the parent notification program called ParentLink. We're always looking for ways to better inform and keep the parents notified of things that are going on in the school. And this particular product seems to be one that's been quite successfully implemented in a variety of school districts across the state, including Jordan, Alpine, Beaver, Grand, Carbon, and now Emory County. And we reviewed this last spring in April administrative meeting and received, I think, an overwhelming support from the building principals with regard to this particular purchase. It's an annual purchase and essentially has three main pillars that we thought were worth pursuing, and the first being attendance calls, automated attendance calls, which helps our secretaries out immensely. Provides a timely notification to the parents of unexpected absences and fluffs that they're not aware of. Those calls go out at noon and again at 4 o'clock. And with the option of the parent being able to respond verbally to voicemail. The second pillar being general notifications, and this one particularly interested the principal, that allowed for them to remind parents of important days such as SELP meetings, back to school night, and a variety of other kinds of activities that were viewed as really important, and a really nice way to be able to simply dial a number, do a recorded message in your own voice, and within a matter of 5 to 10 minutes, reach pretty much 85-90% of all the parents that day after you make that call. And then that is a great service. And Ralph actually utilized it.
He's anxious to share.
Go ahead,
John.
Yeah.
He really is. He's kind of telling me.
I was telling Superintendent when he came in. Trivia question. What was you the first? Wednesday in October of 2006.
Who
were you?
Cleveland.
No, it would have been.
Oh, that's right. It changes it.
One behind. Either be
Cleveland?
Cleveland or.
No, it was here.
It was here?
Oh. It was here. The reason I know is because you were there on National Walk to School Day.
Yeah.
A new walk today, I know that.
And today is National Walk to School Day. Well, last night, I recorded this message. Good afternoon, this is Mr. Wood of Strathfield Elementary. I'm calling to remind you of National Walk to School Day tomorrow, Wednesday, October 3rd. We are encouraging students to either walk or ride bikes to school tomorrow. For those that normally ride the bus will let students walk down by the City Hall. I plan on meeting students there and walking with them to school. Also, we are encouraging everyone to wear green for pedestrian safety. Thank you, and have enjoyed waiting. I sent this out at 3:32. With click of the button. Click of the mouse button. 5 minutes later, 99% of my students was attempted notification within 5 minutes. Of those 174, 149 received a message. Of those 149, 111 was a live answer. In other words, someone live on the other end picked up the phone. 38 was an answering machine. There were 12 busy and 10 operator intercept. And we think that an operator intercepted, probably this is no longer
that working number. Yeah.
20 minutes later, it had gone up from 149 total delivered to 159, only 10 more. You know, we made the majority of them the first time around. It will continue to call back up until the time limit. Most of those was live answers. The answering machine did not change. The operator intercept did not change. And when it went offline or when the message was no longer available, we had reached 93% of our students. 125 or 72% of those was live answers. And then you can print out different reports. This is all the different ones. This page happens to be the 38 answering machines. We know which ones receive the message via answering machine. This particular one, they never did answer.
They have caller ID.
Several times. That must be one that Mrs. Blair asked me if I could have an IEP with in the morning. So could you get through? The two that was not attempted, both of them in the same family, and after calling us at the database, the FIS, where the database is, we think that we had a number in there wrong. Corrected the number. She corrected the number for next time. Hopefully we'll have 100% attempted. The grade 2 old parents have commented to me that they love the reminder.
They're not excited. I'm very excited.
Well, that's a really practical example, too, so you can understand it.
You can do this at the district level, too. This is a call center in Provo, which you can imagine the trunk lines are huge because they serve a lot of schools. In Jordan High School, I think there are 2,000 and 3,000 students in the school itself, so they have a huge trunk. They've been around a long time. Parlance is the company they've been in operation for some time. The third pillar, and I think this is really important, particularly Mr. Grant being in charge of emergency preparedness, is the one that will be helpful in states of emergency, such as snow days, water gets turned off inadvertently, power gets shut down, you name it, or even heaven forbid lockdown. Again, that same kind of response can be made to the parents that fast, which is amazing. There are other services which, quite frankly, duplicate our SIS system, such as lunch accounts, grading, so forth and so on. We didn't feel it was necessarily something we would pursue at this time, but at least those three things are going to be what we roll out. We were in hopes that the newspaper would be here to help us with a little splash in the paper, but I do have a tentative press release, and we'll tweak that and maybe get that out so that they know that as well. So we're ready to rock and roll, and here's a situation where technology really does make a difference.
Okay.
We're very excited about
that. We could send a message from the school district office to every parent in the school district, and within 5 minutes it would have attempted every home. My phone would leave that message.
Wow.
And I will continue to call until it makes the contact, or the time expires that you set on it. You can set the time limits that you want to keep trying, and then it prints out a report on who got it and who didn't.
Now here's a sidebar. If you set it up right, the basketball team's off on a trip and the bus breaks down. One call to the principal goes to those 10, 20, 30 parents, whoever it might be, and they know that their kid's going to be coming in a little bit later.
Wow.
Any other questions?
I have a question.
Yeah, 450 kids per year. Money well spent. We can. And if it isn't,
it is.
We won't do it next year because it's an annual contract and only adults.
Oh, that's good to hear.
My question is, if they call on attendance and the parent has forgotten to excuse them, can they at that time really excuse them?
If we agree that that's what we're going to do procedure-wise, that is an option. If they haven't, if it isn't beyond our time frame for calling it in, everyone's trained, phone call ahead of time, but if we allow that to happen with the check mark in the preference box, They can leave a message. The secretary can listen to that message, and it's all taken care of. But that's one of those details we need to decide amongst the district and the district administrators whether we want that to happen or not.
Well,
that does happen.
You needed a passport to do that.
Right.
Because I can see that scenario really well.
Absolutely.
But I can see that could be valuable too.
Absolutely.
The only problem is if the child received a call at home instead of the parent, and then
they actually have anticipated that and have discussed ways for you to determine that too. So.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Any questions?
I thought only the parent was on the
password. Well, if you need to, you can direct that call to a email that's just the parent's email or cell phone, so that you can avert the running home and picking up the phone.
Mm.
How much of the $450 does Ralph get for his little Oh, all of
the kickback.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, Ralph. Little advertisement. Great, that's exciting. Thanks, John.
I got a call from Greenville High School reminding me of parent teacher conference, and it was really. It was really neat.
Because
I'd forgotten about it.
Well, feelings don't get home.
It's in the voice of.
Yeah.
It is.
Well, the pages don't always get home. They remind
us. That's what we found out.
Yeah.
And this way, you don't know, right now, we don't know who answers the phone. But we do know there was a phone call made to the home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We had a demonstration of this actually 2 years ago in Logan, superintendents, and as we came into the meeting, we left our cell phone numbers with the company, and they hurried and entered all that data, and in the process of the demonstration, they sent a message with a click of a button, and every cell phone in that room rang at the same time, and we were all listening the same message at the same time, the whole
room. Wow!
And that was within 1 minute.
We did try in the simple month to get into spamming parents like on every
We've also asked them to write down their message and read it and not try to do it off the top of their head for fear that they might say something and have somebody proofread it.
But this message that when you send out this report, it actually sends out the message if you type in, not if you record it. You have to call a number and record the message. But when it's typed in, you have the option to send via email.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's exciting.
Great idea.
Communication open there. Well, let's go to the principal's report.
Okay, my report's
over. Oh, you're done your spiel.
I heard that you wanted to have a real long meeting, so when I get to reading all this, and
so we don't know how to read ourselves.
Welcome, the board and superintendent to board meeting tonight and various board meeting tonight. I now have some words of wisdom. How many of you know who Tiger Woods is? Tiger Woods is one of the best golfers of our time. He's a real superstar. He's been golfing since he was old enough to hold a golf club. One day, someone asked Tiger Woods what he thought about when he was about to hit the golf ball. He said, "I think about where I want the ball to go." That's good advice for all of us. Every time we make a choice, every time we swing into action, we need to think about where we want our lives to go. Think about where you want your life to go and what choices you'll have to make to reach your goals. With something to think about, this is Mr. Worthy reminding you to be kind, be respectful, and the best you can be. The choice is your choice. I start every day on the intercom reading a message similar to this. This happens to be the message I read yesterday. And
I make a comment.
Yes.
I think about where I want the ball to go too, but it still ends up in the rough.
Which I'm thankful for.
Many words of wisdom for that. Doesn't matter where I want my life to go, I still end up in the rough.
That's true.
Okay. Okay.
Them words of wisdom, tighter than. But anyway, I start every day with a message like this. This is a commercial that says,
program that we purchased. I think Ken and you also purchased it. There's a separate one for every day. There's a specific one for certain holidays, and there are certain ones for current events. They will, when you register with them, and if there's a current event, then they will send you a word with them to match that current event, both secondary and elementary. After our reading, then our teachers spend a couple of minutes with the class talking about the different things. His message is on character, on making choices, on a positive attitude, and just a lot of different things. I just wanted you to hear one of the actual messages that we going through. We do appreciate the board and all they do for us. It makes working here much better than you know that we would have support. We really appreciate our two new teachers. We have two new teachers in our building, one on each end of the career. Mrs. Tuttle is just starting out. Mrs. Jess has been here the last few years. I don't know exactly when, but both of them have a lot of enthusiasm and excitement, as do all of our teachers. I think I can honestly say I don't have a bad teacher in our building, and I appreciate everything that they do to make my job easier. And there's a lot of enthusiasm. Everyone goes to every workshop they can go to, ask why there's not more offered, but they want to make their teaching better for our kids. We have a smart board in every classroom in our building. Most of these were through a grant that Mrs. Jones wrote for 100% for kids through the credit union. We purchased smart boards, and through other monies, some through ETI money, and some through trust fund money, we equip every room with a smart board, and every room has a audio enhanced system in it. But I'll be totally honest, not all of them are used as much as they ought to be. But we are working towards that. Our staff development plan this year is to help one another get better trained on using smart boards. We've got some teachers that first thing they do in the morning is turn it on. Last thing they do when they leave at night is turn it off. That is, use it for specific areas, specific areas that are going. So we are getting even better. We're a gold medal school, and that's part of the thing that I've done the last 3 years, walk to school for parents. I don't know them to do it anymore. Because I'm a lot older, it's a lot for
What time did you leave this morning?
I left at 4:45. And the route that I took, I added 2 miles to the route, but it was a lot safer. But it was a lot harder walking, too. Some of the ground was off, almost sand-like. That's hard to walk in. And the gravel road was hard to walk on, so I felt it this morning when I got here.
You might want to take on the floor the defibrillators with
you. But kids enjoy it. You know, they meet down to City Hall, and last year I was waiting for the bus. When the bus got here this morning, they were waiting for me. You know, when they saw me, I could, a couple blocks away, I could just. You know, I just think it's important to do things like that. Something outside the classroom to get enthusiasm from the students. And one last thing is we have excellent support from our PTA at the time, which is Hamilton PTA. Every class has volunteers, and
papers out to hire the class gifts. All kinds of volunteers in kindergarten, and just a few in sixth grade, but I think that is very difficult. Part of it is parents, but I think the big part of it is the students
that
don't want parents around. But we do have parents in all grades that are coming in to volunteer, and we appreciate that because it lets parents see what's actually going on. And I lied to you. I said that was the last thing, but there is one more thing, and all of you, you've talked about it before, but we are privileged to have one of the 7 finalists for Teacher of the Year from our school. I'm a little prejudiced, but I had nothing to do with the nomination. So, first time I found out, talking to Jed on the phone, as far as Jed, the Teacher of the Year, he called and said, "Is Connie there today?" I said, "Johnny says, don't let her leave till we get there." And Jed and JJ and superintendent walked in the room with me, and that was the first time I knew anything about it. And it was up to her whether she wanted to apply to the state. We are privileged. But this is only the representation of our total staff. We do have a very good staff. Thank you.
Well, we thank you. I think you're right. I think any of your teachers should have been there and represented our district well. And we appreciate this is the tone that's here, that you can feel the cooperation and the learning and the enthusiasm when you walk in, and I have the privilege to do that once in a while. So pass that on to your staff, our appreciation, and the things that you do. Let's go to the superintendent's report.
This Friday night, there's a State Teacher of the Year banquet is being held in Salt Lake City. Unfortunately, the superintendent gets an invitation to be there with the teachers, but I was at the State Office of Education a couple of weeks ago when I was able to prod out of someone up there the fact that the State Teacher of the Year this year is from a rural school district. And we know there are 2 finalists according to that. One out of Green County and one out of Emory County. So be interesting to see.
It's exciting, isn't it?
Friday night, I'll be up there.
And the one from Grand County is a very good friend of mine.
Can you send us out a notice when you get the results?
Yeah.
Your little sister.
Yeah,
there's
a message to the sheriff after me.
Yeah, I'm probably not in the parent link, but anyway, that's exciting.
I guess while we're on the subject, Marie, did you get your email from me?
No, this is embarrassing. They called and asked me about plays, accompany people for the funeral tomorrow, and I had never heard of the song. I haven't even looked at my email.
I know we were talking about communication. Yeah. Send the board emails. I can't get it through to Marie. Okay.
Sorry.
I guess before I go any further, I want to take the opportunity to acknowledge the loss of one of our custodians, Kurt Brazier. You know, you're aware he passed away night before last. And certainly acknowledge his work for many, many years as a custodian in our school district and his contribution to our school system and to the kids. And I think that that's important to acknowledge that at this time. his services, I think, right now there's a visitation going on at Fawcett Mortuary, and there's a grave site service tomorrow at 2 o'clock. In Cleveland. I think Cleveland Elementary will be dismissing about 20 minutes early tomorrow so that their staff can be there. They're normally out at 10 after 2, so they're going to, I think we've arranged for the buses to be there a little bit early. In case you're getting called, we have sent notification home. But we acknowledge that. No Child Left Behind, at our last board meeting, it was not public information, but just again, we have 2 schools that did not make AYP this year, Farron Elementary and Canyon View Junior High, both of those in special education language arts, but I also want to remind you that of the 45 components of No Child Left Behind, both of those schools made 44 of those 45 components. But if you miss one out of 45, your school does not make adequate easy projects. So
although we want all of our schools to make AYP, we're certainly not unhappy with our with the school district this year, and my child left behind adequate progress results. We did send a press release to the paper. I did that last Thursday, but I noticed it did not appear in this week's paper, so maybe next week. I attached for you tonight the October 1st enrollment report. It's actually not the official report, but it is, the numbers come from the official unofficial report, which becomes official October 15th. If you notice on that, if you go down the light, green and light blue column of 708, we are at 2,255 students. And we last October was 2,320. We are down 65 students from last October. Our projection was 68, so we're really close to our projection. This is about 9 students, I think, lower than the 9 you had, lower than, I think, than 7 or 9 lower than last board meeting when we gave you another report. So we have lost a few students since the 1st of September. You can see the differences. You can see that our elementary schools are actually up 31, but our secondary schools dropped 96 students. And we have those low numbers now entering the secondary schools. If you look at the 6th, 7th, and 8th grade numbers, we have 3 years there that are extremely low compared to the others. And so we have that, again, it's a reverse bubble going through our system, which will have an impact on our secondary schools in the next 4 or 5 years. That's for your information. The self-contained numbers are also included in the regular grade level numbers, just so you know. remind you that there's a regional USDA meeting on October 11th at the Carbon School District office. There's a dinner meeting. They usually call the week before for a count, but they called 2 weeks ago, and I told them we'd have 5 there out of the 7 of us. So just remind you that that's on the 11th, a week from tomorrow. And they are coming to Carbon rather than Spanish Fork, so that's good.
I guess we have to fight about which two of us don't go.
Well, yeah. One's already notified me that they won't be there, so it's fine. But if we show up with 6, they'll probably feed us all. The meeting that didn't happen, the Children's Justice Center meeting, that was scheduled. I think at least a couple of you probably got a call from Shelley Wright apologizing for that. We had 5 of you who showed up at the meeting and it was canceled. I wasn't aware, we weren't aware. I mean, she indicated to me that we were supposed to RSVP, which I didn't know.
I didn't know that either.
And apparently DCFS, the county, the sheriff's department, no one RSVP'd, and so at the last minute she canceled the meeting, and then we had 5 people show up. It has been rescheduled for October 17th at 1 o'clock, same location, and I'm supposed to RSVP how many we will have there.
Where's the TCFS office at?
Call my number and then we'll go to the
patch. No,
sit off down one more.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's
I'm
the reason. Sorry. The 11th is the reason. Oh, sorry, John. 17th.
Okay.
It's from Emory High School. If you head toward Orangeville, it's right on the right, about 2 blocks down, a quarter mile down.
That's a Wednesday.
There's Workforce Services facing the highway. If you turn, then Human Services is right behind that building, along with the agricultural office.
Okay. It's Wednesday?
It's Wednesday at 1 o'clock. So,
I should be able to.
I will, if they promise they'll let us know if they cancel it.
Okay. I don't think that'll happen again. I did get an email from her today indicating that both the sheriff's office and DCFS and the county have all indicated that they could meet on that. So,
RSVP, 12 people, and none of us will show up.
There you go.
Actually, I think Jed and I can both be there. Jed, we'll give Jed and JJ this one off. So I've got Laurel and Marie. Sam, were you? You were.
I plan to be there.
Okay. I don't. I'll be there on the 11th, though.
Yeah. Okay.
I
can tell you what they're really looking at is that they do want to build a field of justice center. They would like to pursue a grant to the CIB, I think, for the materials for the building. I think they do want the school board to donate a lot in our subdivision and to have our students build it, and then they will pay for the material. I think that's what they're going to be looking at. We discussed with them the possibility of building that on the part of the 8 acres that was donated to the county, and the county has indicated, because of the situation, the location of the pool and that, that they don't know that it can be done there. So that's part of the discussion, I guess. But I think they are looking for a place. Most of the Children's Justice Centers throughout the state, if not all of them, are located in residential areas. They try to make them as a home, so that it has a home environment. And the purpose, of course, of the Children's Justice Center is for DCFS, Sheriff's Office, to take young children if they suspect that there's abuse. That's where they can take them. That's where they're interviewed. They have their shelter there for up to 48 hours or so before they make a decision on placement. It's not a youth corrections, and it's not a juvenile detention. It's a justice center for that purpose. So you might want to be thinking about that as we come to this meeting, because I think that's what they're looking at. Or at least they're looking for decision makers who can come together and help them to figure out a way to make it happen. So that's one of the options that they have talked about. And I think that's all I have. I think we do have an executive session, or a closed meeting session, but that's all I have.
Okay, Jared, do you have some items?
Just the only thing I wanted to mention was we had a good audit season. To a lot of people, Doug. the auditors will be here next month to report and talk about it, but we did have a good audit season, and I was happy with that. So.
Okay. First time I've heard in person of an audit season. Huh?
Well, yeah. You do everything.
It makes it sound like a season. Really long process.
It is.
It's not an event.
That's what we call it in the business office, okay. An audit season. Yeah.
That's fall, winter, spring, summer, and autumn.
Yeah.
Sounds to me
more like a present season or a near season.
Yeah.
An autumn season.
Open autumn season.
Makes sense to me.
That's even better.
Okay. Any public comment?
I have one other question for you. In the administrative council report, there was a minute. There's reference to a mentoring grant that is going to have a permanent position for a coordinator. That's for all of the districts that are involved. One
that will be one coordinator for our school district.
One per district. Okay.
This started in Grand County. They have a mentoring program going on there under a grant. And they have invited, or they want to write a large grant that would take in Grand, Carbon, Emory, San Juan. I don't think San Juan's involved. Yeah, they are. The four in our region plus Duchesne and Uinta. And they want to write a large grant that would provide a mentoring program in this entire area, and would hire a full-time mentoring coordinator for each school district. And then that person would go out and train volunteers. And it's very similar to the Big Brother, Big Sister programs that used to exist, where they would get trained volunteers to work with at-risk kids, to spend time with them each week, help them with homework, and those people would go through background checks. And they've got a successful program going down there, and have approached us about the desire to be involved. We have not made a final commitment. We have simply sent a letter of support of interest that we really do want to look at participating, and when they get the grant written, and if it's approved, then we will come to the board for formal approval of our participation in that.
This is a federal grant?
Yes.
Okay.
Any other comments? Okay. And motion is in the... Oh, go ahead.
You finally got the gym down in Greenwood. As of yesterday, when we were down there, we made a final inspection on a few items that needed to be completed.
and we finally get the contract in order that it's completed. We've held some money in penalties because of the length of the extension beyond our time. So we've held some money back in penalties from it. Probably not as much as we should have, but all fairness to the contractor, to the subcontractors, it was a problem. So we kind of sit down and determine what we felt like was a fair penalty. And we've notified the contractor of that. We haven't heard any response back as far as I know.
So that'd be a good great.
Fantastic.
Okay.
That's a beautiful facility.
Yeah.
Okay, a motion is in order for you to adjourn to close meeting.
Oh, so moved.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Thank you all for coming and
Community or communication?
Yeah.
Thanks for coming. Let's see, we'll have Leroy stay for cold meeting.